Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
The disciples were really disturbed. In John 14, Jesus had told them that he was going to go away. And that was a massive disturbance to them, as you can understand. They also realized that it was down to them, as far as things were concerned. Jesus had hinted at things, saying to them, firstly, he was the light of the world. And then he shocked them by saying to them, you are the light of the world. So there was a sense of responsibility that they felt. How are they going to cope without Jesus? It was Jesus who was the attraction to all the crowds around them. Jesus was attracted because of his character. He was love itself. The picture that we read, or the picture that we read in 1 Corinthians 13 about love, is really a pen picture of Jesus. He's all of those things. He was the one that found the woman at the well. He was the one that welcomed the woman who washed his feet with her tears. He was the one who went to Zacchaeus' house. They were, how can we live a life like that? They would have asked themselves. How can we reproduce the character of Jesus? And then there was the charisma of Jesus, or the gift, the power gifts that Jesus had. Me and I were listening just the other day to the scriptures, and it was saying that when Jesus went to a certain area, they brought all the people from nearby that were sick and laid them on their beds. And if they just reached out and touched the very edge of the garment of Jesus, that they would be healed. And that happened all the time. Wherever Jesus went, crowds would come, and Jesus would exercise the power. He would have wisdom and faith, and they were concerned about those things. We might be concerned about the same things ourselves. If we are God's representatives here on earth, the body of Christ, how do we bear that same character as Jesus? How do we reproduce that? How do we move in the same power as Jesus? How do we see that happen in our lives? I've got an able assistant with me here today, my lovely wife, the beautiful Marie. She's going to come up. I couldn't do these illustrations. It would take me all day taking on and off a coat. So we'll see. This is Marie. This coat that Marie is wearing, although she got it new for Christmas, it represents the old self. And you'd be surprised. Show us what's inside the old self, Marie. I'm going to read for you. Acts of the flesh, witchcraft, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, idolatry, selfish ambition, dissension, envy, factions, drunkenness, orgies in the work.
Not all of those for me.
I think we read, this list is not in order because I couldn't get the stickers all in the right places. But I think that if we feel a bit smug that we don't indulge in orgies and sexual immorality and all those sorts of things, there's a few for us, like hatred and factions and divisions and all of those sorts of things. Now, the good news is, the Bible says in Galatians that we have put off the old self. So you can do that for us, Marie. I'll take it. Put off the old self. In fact, the Bible says that we've undergone a circumcision, not of the flesh, but a circumcision of the heart. And God has cut away all of these things. So this is no longer your wardrobe. This is no longer what we wear. When God was speaking to me about this, I heard the click of a wardrobe door, as if God was saying, you're not wearing those clothes anymore. It's finished. This door makes a really nice click. I checked it out on Wednesday. Here's the old self with all of those things in it. There we go. You can get it back later. We spend so much of our lives trying to not do the wrong things and to try to do the right things. Yet we're not called to not do the wrong things. We're called to put off, or rather we're told that it's already been put off. We read earlier on, Nigel read for us, that in the book of Ezekiel and in Jeremiah, God promises that in the new covenant, he'll give us a new heart, a brand new heart, and that he'll change the way that we think so that we want to follow his laws. That's a new nature which God promises to us. In the New Testament, in 1 Peter 2, in the first few verses, it speaks about how through God's great and precious promises that we can become partakers of the divine nature. So what promises are they that make us take on the character of Jesus? Well, I believe it's that all the commandments of the Old Testament become promises to us in the New. So that when we read, thou shalt not steal, that's no longer a commandment to us. That's a promise. You won't steal. When we read, you should not commit adultery, that's not a commandment to us. That's a promise. I'm going to empower you so that you don't go the same way as everyone else. And every one of those promises, every one of those commandments can be seen as it becomes a promise to us in the New Testament. Because the old one's been cut off and gone. We're told to put on the new. So you can do that for us, Mary. Let's have a look and see what's in the new nature. There you go. The fruit of the Spirit. That's the definition of the new nature that we've been given. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what we now wear. That's great, isn't it? The great promise to us. We don't have to try. Fruit doesn't try to be born. It just grows naturally, doesn't it? Because its roots are in the right, the tree's roots are in the right place. You don't walk through an orchard in the autumn and hear, and an apple suddenly pops out. There's no struggle, there's no effort. This is our new nature. This is what we are called to live in. Thanks, Marie. Give her a round of applause. What about the power? If Jesus has promised us the character through the new birth, which we read about, and he also promises power, through the gifts of the Spirit. In here is my toolkit. When I say my toolkit, it's pristine. Marie's probably used these more than I've ever used. I'm a bit better with a baking spatula than I am with tools. But here we've got the gifts of the Spirit. Healing. Knowledge. Tongues, interpretation. There's no significance between what the tools are and the gifts are, by the way. It's not that clever a sermon. Faith, miracles, prophecy, determined, and lastly, wisdom. And sometimes when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, I heard people talk in terms of, I've got the gift of tongues, what have you got? I'm a three-gift Christian, you're only a two-gift. You know, like as if it's crosses on the lapels, that the more gifts of the Spirit you've got, the more important you are. That's not the way that it is at all. In fact, God has given this toolkit to every single one of us. And it lives inside us. So if I see someone who's sick, I don't have to ask myself, have I got the gift of healing? I do have the gift of healing because the whole toolkit is mine. So I can reach out. And put my hands on people. You know, it's great that we're having healing here at the church. People are being prayed for on a monthly basis. But just imagine the impact on the community if every single one of us was to pray with everyone that we saw that was sick. That's kind of the empowerment that God gives to us. If I don't know how to pray, I can remember one day visiting an elderly member of our previous congregation. And she was 96. She was going to go to heaven. But as I stood by her bedside, I thought, how do I pray for this lady? And I thought, I know what I can do. I can reach into my toolkit. I can bring out the gift of tongues. When I pray in tongues, I know that God is praying through me. And I know I'm praying the things that are according to his will. So I took out the gift of tongues and began to just gently pray over this lady. Within 20 minutes, the staff told me that after I'd gone, she rallied. Her relatives who had come from Canada to be there when she died had a wasted trip. She was fully restored and back to life again. Now, I didn't know if that was what God wanted or didn't know. I used the gift that God had given me. And it's the same for all of the other gifts. They apply to each and every single one of us. Just finally, imagine how irresistible the church would be if we could move in all the character of Jesus, if we could move in all the charisma or power gifts of Jesus. That's what we're called to do. We're trying to do a lot of the time the job of getting the gospel to the ends of the earth without the toolkit. Whereas the Bible says, God worked with them and confirmed the word through signs and wonders following. Luke says, at the beginning of his gospel, this is an account of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Acts is the account of all Jesus continued to do and teach in and through his church. And I wonder what wonderful things are going to be accomplished by the church in Bedhampton as we bear increasingly the character and nature of Jesus. And as we move increasingly in the gifts that God has given us, let's pray. Yes, Father, we are totally dependent on you. We can't change ourselves. We've tried. It doesn't work. But Lord, we declare that we reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to righteousness. Come and change us from the inside out, Lord. May we bear your character to those that we see around us. And Lord, may each of us learn what it is to dip in to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and to draw with joy from the well of salvation that's within us. And Lord, may we become an irresistible force here in Bedhampton, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.